Welcome to Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola. Many of us are frustrated with our elected leaders at every level of government. Today's passage provides godly guidelines that every magistrate should take to heart. We should pray that every elected official would hearken to this biblical instruction. One day, Jesus will rule and reign on earth, and he will show the world what godly governance looks like. Please open your Bible to Psalm 101 and join Pastor Ray Viola as he begins his study of this Davidic psalm.
Psalm 101, a psalm of David. I will sing of mercy and judgment. Unto thee, O Lord, will I sing. I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. O, when wilt thou come unto me? I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. A froward heart shall depart from me. I will not know or esteem a wicked person. Whoso privily slandereth his neighbor, him will I cut off. Him that hath an high look and a proud heart will not I suffer. Mine eyes shall be upon the faithful of the land, that they may dwell with me. He that walketh in a perfect way, he shall serve me. He that worketh deceit shall not dwell within my house. He that telleth lies shall not tarry in my sight. I will early destroy all the wicked of the land, that I may cut off all wicked doers from the city of the Lord. Psalm 101, of course, is a psalm of David. And this psalm is in the fourth section of the book. And there are only two psalms that are attributed to David. Psalm 101 and Psalm 103. The previous Davidic psalm was Psalm 86. One of the themes of the psalm is the rightful conduct and the proper principles for how a king is to rule his administration. Martin Luther called this psalm, quote, a mirror for magistrates. But this psalm also speaks about the personal desire that David had to live a separated life, a holy life, a life consecrated to God. And what is biblical separation? Well, if all you think about is what you can't do, you've missed it. It's not what we are separated from, it's what we are separated unto. Because of what Christ has done for us, how he's redeemed us from the debt of sin, from the wrath to come, now, because of his perfect sacrifice and us being in a right standing with God, we're now separated to have fellowship with him and to walk with him. And as we look at this psalm, we will see some key principles of living a consecrated life, a separated life. Paul would say that he was separated unto the gospel. And so David begins by saying, I will sing of mercy. Some of your translations may say loving kindness or loyalty, covenant loyalty. I will sing of mercy and judgment. Unto thee, O Lord, will I sing. Now, David here is not only referring to his personal private devotions when he sang to the Lord, he's also referring to how when he would gather together with the saints, like how you and I are gathered together here tonight, and we gathered here and we're singing unto the Lord. We're just not having like Christian karaoke. You know, we've got a worship leader and a piano player, and let's just all kumbaya. This is all about praising God and worshiping God. When Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus, He said in chapter 5, verse 18, "And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit," or "be filled with the Spirit." And here's one of the ways where we are filled with the Spirit: speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. David, of course, is called in Scripture the man after God's own heart. And one of the reasons why he was a man after God's own heart, we know it wasn't because of a perfect life, we know that, was because he had a heart that desired to know the Lord, to worship the Lord. And here he's talking about singing of the mercy and judgment of God. "Unto thee, O Lord, will I sing." And our worship is always vertical. It's thou worship. It's unto you, Lord, that I sing. In Psalm 89, verse 1, Ethan the Ezrahite wrote, "I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations." And it's so wonderful to know that God's mercies are unmeasurable. Unmeasurable. Measurable mercy is not God's mercy. God's mercies and his faithfulness are immeasurable. And I'm so glad for that. And God is magnified when you and I, in our personal lives, when we gather together to sing and declare his faithfulness, he's magnified. He is glorified. He inhabits the praises of his people. And many times when you are feeling down and out, one of the best things to do is to just start singing. Just start singing. Just start singing unto the Lord. The Bible talks about the sacrifice of praise, the fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name. The only reason that we need to praise God is because of who he is. And he gives us reasons 24/7. "I will," he says, "sing of mercy and judgment. I will sing, O Lord, unto thee." Notice that David doesn't say, "I will sing for mercy." He says, "I will sing of mercy." In other words, David didn't sing so that God, "Well, maybe if I sing a little bit louder, maybe if I raise my hands a little bit higher, maybe he'll be merciful to me." No, 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 no. He had already been the recipients of the mercy of God. And he says, "I will sing unto you, Lord. I will sing of your mercy." David had been the recipient of God's mercies. In Psalm 51, which is David confessing his sin of murder and adultery, he begins by saying, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies. Blot out mine iniquity, blot out my transgressions, wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin." David cries out for mercy from God because there was no sacrifice in the old covenant for the sin of murder or for the sin of adultery. His only recourse was to ask mercy from God. And so David began that psalm, that confessional psalm, by saying, "God, be mercy to me." And so you have David, the man after God's own heart. You have Ezra, the Ezrahite, or Ethan, the Ezrahite. He speaks of singing of mercy because God had been merciful to him. In the book of Ephesians chapter 2, we read in verse 4, "But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved." Beautiful. Beautiful. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us. The death of Christ and the cross speaks of God's love for us, even when we were dead in sins. Romans says, even when we were his enemies, even when we were in rebellion, Christ died for us, and we have been quickened together with Christ by grace. You are saved. David and Ethan sang of God's mercy, looking forward to the cross. How much more can you and I sing of God's mercy tonight because of how he's been merciful to us? How many of you can testify, boy, God has been merciful to me? You know what mercy is? One definition of mercy is not getting what you deserve. I doubt any of you woke up this morning and in your devotionals said, okay, Lord, please give me whatever I deserve today. No, no, you know what? He just Amazon primed a whole truckload of mercy to your doorstep and my doorstep this morning. And if you're anything like me, you're probably a wee bit near the end and ready for a new supply tomorrow. But God has been merciful to us. Ephesians 4:32 says, God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. He doesn't forgive us because of our conduct. There's nothing that we can do to save ourselves. And that's why the gospel of Jesus Christ is very, very difficult for someone that is a moralist or a religionist or just a do-gooder, because they cannot comprehend that apart from Christ, they have no hope of being saved, being forgiven. It's for Christ's sake. He's done it all. Because of what Christ has done, you and I are in right standing with God tonight. Doesn't matter how you feel, what you're going through, it's because of what Christ has done for us. Because of that imputed righteousness that was counted or credited to us by God's grace through faith in Christ. And so we are the recipients of much mercy tonight. Notice how many times David says, I will. He says it twice in verse 1. He says it twice in verse 2. Once in verse 3. He says it again in verse 5. Or verse 4, I will not. Verse 5, I will cut them off. Verse 5, I will not suffer them. I will early destroy, I may cut off, I will sing, I will behave myself, I will walk, I will set no wicked thing before my eyes. You get the idea that David is not a passive follower of God? He says, I will. That phrase, I will, kind of reminds me of how Jude tells us, keep yourselves in the love of God. And we have to put forth effort every day, don't we? There's no place for passivity if our desire is to lead a holy, separated life. Now, certainly, there's God's grace and empowerment, but you and I must also put in that effort. The Bible tells us in Philippians that we've been studying on Sunday morning, to work out our own salvation. How? With fear and trembling. Why? Because it is God who is working in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. I will sing. I will behave myself. I will walk. I will set no wicked thing before my eyes. I will. He had made that determination to live in such a way that would honor God and please God. Of course, not perfectly. We will see that tonight. But he determined every day to walk with God. Notice he not only sang of mercy, he sang of God's judgment. God has those perfect scales. He has mercy and he has judgment. I will behave myself wisely, in a perfect way, or It can read, I will pay attention to the way that I am walking. I will behave myself. How many times when you are raising your children do you have to tell them, now behave yourself? None of you? Or were Lizzie and I the only parents that had to tell our kids that? Now behave yourself, right? David says, I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. Oh, when will you come unto me? I will walk within my house with a perfect heart, or with integrity of heart. Again, David is resolved to live a certain way. He says, I want to live a holy and separated life within my own house. Now, one of the amazing things about the body of Christ is that most of us are pretty well behaved when we come here. Everybody's really at the top of their game most of the time. The problem is, you don't live here. You go home. And in the privacy of our own home, many times the accountability that exists here is sometimes not always there. And there's a tendency when you are on your own to drop that, let's say, holiness guard. Or you get home and you take off part of the armor. You take off the helmet. You take off the breastplate. You take off your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And whenever you discard a part of the armor, you just open yourself up for all kinds of problems. David, the man after God's own heart, desired to walk with God and before God with a holy and blameless heart. And David, remember, was a king. And he realized that how he conducted himself privately would carry over in how he governed the people of God. How he conducted himself privately would affect how he conducted the people of God publicly. He said, I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. Oh, when will you come unto me? Now, there are many that believe that David's question about the Lord coming to him may reflect the time during which the Ark of the Covenant remained outside of Jerusalem. The Ark of the Covenant represented the presence of God. Oh, God, when will you come to me? Behaving ourselves, walking within our house with a perfect heart, or a heart of integrity. I will set no wicked thing before my eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. When Joshua was about to bring the people of God into the promised land, he said, if you're going to serve the Lord, serve him with all your heart. Don't turn aside to the left. Don't turn aside to the right. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And there is a principle. Gentlemen, husbands, dads, that's you driving the home in that regard. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. They say, the children say, we don't want to. You don't get a vote. You simply don't get a vote. When you're old enough to be on your own, then you can vote. You're here. You're serving. You're coming to the Lord. We're going to serve the Lord. We're going to pray together. We're going to sing together. We're going to go to church. I think it's a tragic thing that we've gotten in a day and age where I think the order within the home has been inverted. Ladies, I love you. Don't take this the wrong way. I think there are so many female-driven homes. And we need to dwell with our wives according to understanding. It's very important to me what my dear wife thinks. But at the end of the day, I have to make the choice. I'm accountable. And of course, you don't rule with a fist of iron. You rule in love. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. You don't turn to the left. You don't turn to the right. I will set no wicked things or worthless things or vile things or base things before my eyes. Can you imagine if David lived in our generation? Just think if he lived today. Now, you and I know from reading 2 Samuel chapter 12, there was a time when the soldiers, the army of God, should have been going out to war, but he took a little vacation. He stayed back, didn't he? And one evening he went out on his balcony, and he happened to be looking out, and he saw a woman taking a bath, and her name was Bathsheba. And you know the rest of the story. So David's resolve was commendable, but at times his life didn't square with his resolution. That is why Paul tells us in Romans chapter 13, verses 11 through 14, and that, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. Wake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. So, it's nearer now, right? And this is not the time for the saints of God to be falling asleep, to be turning to the left, to be turning to the right, to be getting all involved and wrapped up in all of this rhetoric that is going on in our country. Jesus is coming soon. He says, the night is far spent, the day is at hand or near. Notice, let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting, not in drunkenness, not in chambering. That word chambering speaks of cohabitation, apart from being in a covenant of marriage, which is, and I have to say it, biblically, one man and one woman. And wantonness, not in strife, not in envy, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Oh, there's so many opportunities for you and I to make provision for the flesh, isn't there? He says, don't do it. There's an old saying that says, it takes a passion to overcome a passion. Every one of us, even as born-again, spirit-filled believers, we still have this entity called the flesh. And in my flesh dwells no good thing. But on top of that, we're surrounded by fleshly lusts, Peter says, that are at war with our soul. And the temptations, the battles that we have are rarely with things that we hate. They're usually things that we regard or cherish or have an affection towards. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, bless
His holy, His wonderful. Join us tomorrow at 6:30 p.m. as we continue this study on Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola. Hey guys, unsure about what it means to be a man? God's Word tells us that men are leaders in their homes. Real men also pray, worship God, and study His Word. Most men also enjoy having a hearty breakfast and fellowship with other like-minded men of all ages. If this interests you, then we invite you to be a man and join us tomorrow morning between 5:30 and 7 at Koinonia Fellowship, located at 500 Main Street in East Rochester. Do you have a Bible question? Do you need to talk with someone or have someone pray with you? If you do, we invite you to visit our website at selaonradio.com and click on the live chat button. We'd love to hear from you. Audio and video downloads of all Pastor Ray's teachings can be accessed at koinoniafellowship.com. You can subscribe to Pastor Ray's blog at selaonradio.com and receive a daily devotional by email. We welcome you to join us for Sunday morning and Wednesday evening services at Koinonia Fellowship. Our address is 500 Main Street, East Rochester, New York. Service times are 8:30 and 10:30 Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday. This program has been brought to you by Koinonia Fellowship.